I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. That's right. It's a download. 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's time for Touche. We do it every Monday. Dave Lundy, the Democrat, Chris Roebling, the Republican. They battle it out. Touche style. A lot to talk about this week. I don't know any of it because I wasn't here, but I did see they had a big screen in the Jamaica airport this morning.
Yeah.
With Trump doing a press conference.
I missed that.
There were a lot of people interested. I was surprised, and not Americans, just people paying attention. Yeah, Montego Bay.
I got to tell you, I ran into Jeannie Ives today.
Oh, great.
Jeannie,
in Montego Bay?
No,
Jeannie was in Montego Bay?
I was not in Montego Bay.
Oh,
Justin was. No, she held a press conference at the Union League Club. I have no idea what about, but I saw her on her way out. Looking no worse for the wear of a statewide campaign. She's really out there, man.
Yeah, well,
she's out there hitting it.
She's out there not getting endorsed by anybody because of that ad.
That's not true. She's getting endorsed by all of the Republican organizations that have free and open voting.
And no media.
And who cares about the media?
Right.
So you're
David, you are the media.
She's the Bernie Sanders of this gubernatorial.
I'm telling you, she is sneaking up on Bruce Rauner, who looked like a total doofus today, taking credit for the Illinois Policy Institute fight against public sector employee unionism.
Yeah, that's going to be one coming up.
We
should be talking. Well, we got a little bit of time because they're not going to make a decision until June. So let's go for today's conversation, which is about gun control.
Oh, I thought today's conversation was about Bruce Rauner looking like a total doofus.
A total doofus.
It must have been a day ending in Y.
No, total doofus.
Every day looks more and more like a doofus.
When Chris, when you're slamming on Republicans, you're just feeding. You're just.
Oh my God! Yeah,
David's heart is warm, but wait until.
How could I not take advantage of that?
All right, let's talk gun control, because this is an issue today that the president this weekend and this week talking to the nation's governors, talking about that he is going to be a guy who is going to find a bipartisan solution to gun control. What do you make of what's happened in light of what happened in Parkland, Florida, and how our politics has responded in the last week and a half?
I think that they're trying to respond to politics. I think the president is trying to make it appear that he's being responsive, just as he was when he said he would sign any DACA bill that came along. The Congress just has to present it to him. And then, of course, he reneged on that within like
a day. He did not.
Of course he did. He immediately started taking shots.
David cannot say a thing. First of all, you were asked about gun control. Now you're on DACA.
I'm getting
a roadmap. I think you're lost in Montego Bay.
It's a roadmap.
David is somewhere in Negril with his clothes off.
The president, Chris is distracting because he doesn't want to mention the fact that today the president explained in his attack on the deputy in Florida for not going into the building. He said Cadet Bonespurs said that he would have charged into that building even if he didn't even have a weapon.
I think it's actually kind of offensive.
So
it's offensive, David, that people died and you're focused on this politics. The big point here is that Trump was saying today to Republicans in the room, don't be afraid of the NRA. They're doing what they think is right. We have to do what we think is right. It's okay to take them on. It's okay to fight with them every once in a while. And then we'll end up agreeing on something else. That's the kind of leadership that you have said for decades that you want to see. You never saw it from Obama. You never saw it from George Bush.
Actually,
it's here
we
from Trump.
See it from Obama
and you don't care.
George Bush. But look,
but you're
Chris,
making fun.
If Donald Trump
17
sticks
people are
with
dead,
this position,
and you're making fun.
No, if Donald Trump sticks with this position, actually sticks with it more than to get past the news cycle and actually manages to pass meaningful gun control legislation, I will personally hand you on this show $100.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
No, I think Trump will do his thing. I think Trump is the kind of guy. This is what happens when you elect an outsider who's not part of the whole Washington swamp mentality.
Oh, today's Chris's with Trump day.
You know what? When the guy deserves to be supported, I try to support him. When he deserves to be criticized, I'm the first one to criticize him.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you have looked for leadership like this against the NRA, somebody to stand up and say, when they're wrong, they're wrong. When they're right, they're right. I think they're wrong. I'm going to fight them. What do you want? But do you, what do you want? That's
Chris
not good enough.
Right. Chris is right in the sense that, yes, this is why people voted for Donald Trump, to come in and be an outsider to Washington. Right. We have not seen that play out that way. We've right. seen him align himself with Republican issues in Congress and the Senate. He's done everything by the book. Do you agree with Chris that this may be, I guess, an advantage to the country, that we have a president who might be able to stand up to the NRA?
He's not. He's not going
okay.
to.
Okay. Well, look,
No, Roebling. Shush. Just shush. Donald Trump, in his press conference, or in his press availability a couple days ago, was literally using the same talking points that Wayne LaPierre was using from the podium. So spare me if I'm not getting all excited that Donald Trump is going to actually do something about this. He's not. This is a sham.
Yeah, okay. Well, that is just another opportunity.
But if he's serious, I will look forward to it.
Never missing an opportunity to miss an opportunity. I want to tell you the
Thank
real
you,
problem.
Abba Eben.
The real problem out of
that was an obscure reference for our listeners.
Out of Broward County, the real problem is, of course, nothing new. I certainly think there's a big gun conversation to be had. There's also a big societal conversation to be had. There's also a big government conversation. Government at every level failed the parents, failed the fellow teachers, failed the children, failed the victims, failed the whole country down there, because you had these goofballs on the school board saying things like, when kids do criminal things here, let's not report it. And then when they had their school safety officer, they wouldn't let the school safety officer onto the property to execute any process or to pick up kids, because they didn't want the statistics to reflect that there were crimes at the schools, even if there were crimes. And they didn't have any kind of mechanism to flag this kid. And then you get to the higher level. Obviously, Broward County has its own problems. The sheriff there is clinging to his job just because he's got a lot of Democrat support in the legislature, because he's a Democrat and they don't care about the results. But then the real problem is the FBI. The FBI has failed. And there was a guy on TV tonight, a former assistant director of the FBI. He said, one of the first things that you learn as an agent is intaking calls, tip lines, how to triage, how to assess, how to send something on when it should be sent on. He was dumbfounded that whole discipline of the profession has gone out the window.
No, there's no question. I mean, on this, Chris is actually right for a change. It was a government failure.
I still have questions about that, but go ahead.
But it was a government failure on multiple levels. It wasn't just the FBI tip that wasn't acted upon. It was the 39 reports to local law enforcement that were ignored. I mean, literally, it's as if somebody was putting up a whole barrage of flares, and the relevant government officials were going like, I don't see anything. I mean, it was a failure. All that having been said, you cannot have this conversation without talking about the guns.
Well, I wonder, and I want to take a break here so we stay on time, but I wonder, this would be a perfect opportunity for Democrats and Republicans to compromise, because obviously, you know, Democrats are way against the idea of school security and the issue of arming people to put guns in schools.
No. We are not against the idea of school security. We're against the idea of thinking you can give 700,000 teachers weapons and have a safer environment.
That was never a proposal.
Yes, he did.
That was never a proposal. That's ridiculous.
Chris, you're not being truthful with our audience.
I am.
He said, first he said there should be like 40% of teachers should be armed. And then he downloaded, he downloaded it to 20%. 20% of teachers is 700,000 teachers.
Okay, all right, I get it. But the point being, beyond what's been said by the politicians in this, if you were in a position where you could say, why don't we investigate administrators, maybe not teachers, but to put guns in schools in that capacity, and at the same time, look at a ban on weapons of war. I mean, I feel I feel like you can do both, right? I feel like if parties came together, we could get both these. They don't have to be an either or.
I've literally talked to teachers since this happened who said, if you put those guns in my school, in my classroom, I will quit.
Good.
I will quit the profession.
Those are the kind we should get.
No, those are not. Yeah. That's the majority.
Get rid of those people and get the people in there who want to care
one more thing
about
on this.
The kids.
Just to be serious, the cop who did not go into the building, at least four, stop it. The cop who didn't go into the building acted like a scared human being. You put 700,000 weapons into our classrooms with people who are not emotionally equipped or trained to do that. Yeah. You are going to have dead kids.
Well, okay, David is speaking about something that's never been discussed or proposed. But did you want to take a break?
Yeah. Yeah.
I notice how you're spinning your finger.
Robling's pulling the ripcord on the... No, get me out of this!
Go, but
all right, Robling, Lunding, touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche, Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, back for round two. Round one ended with that was like the end of like a Rocky II fight where you're like, oh, they're not stopping. They're really into it. Creed and Rocky, they really don't like it.
I appreciate the fact that David acknowledged governmental failure. I do.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Let's move on to the other issue that came out. And what was it? Friday night, Saturday night?
Saturday. They released the memo,
the Democrat memo. And they, such a timely day.
They finally hashtagged release the memo.
I like that.
So was this, this didn't get as much press, of course, as the Republican memo, but what was in it? And what does this mean for the ongoing investigation into Russia?
You know, I had warned my friend Chris here and all Republicans that building their case on Carter Page was a colossal mistake, just a strategic mistake, because because Carter Page had been under surveillance from the FBI since 2013, and they were trying to say, oh, how dare you surveil Carter Page, and this was really done against the Trump campaign, and this is the FBI surveilling Trump. And of course, in the Democratic memo, that points to context and dates and times that were all excluded from the Nunes memo, all of which shows it was a whole giant steaming pile of horse pucky. There was no there. Oh, and by the way, the other thing that they claimed is that they hadn't disclosed the fact that Steele was being paid by an opposing campaign. Oh, darn it. It turns out they had disclosed it. It's all in here. It's all in the Democratic memo. There's like 45 footnotes, all of which is in detail of what the problem is.
This
thing was such... They said it was going to bring down Mueller. It brought down nothing other than their credibility.
Chris Roebling, your turn.
First of all, I want everybody to go online to National Review Online and read Andrew McCarthy, because Andrew McCarthy is a retired federal prosecutor who really knows this area, and he does a line-by-line exegesis of the Democratic memo. It is his finding and conclusion, and which I share, that the memo actually strengthens Nunes and the Republican interpretation.
You don't say.
And here is... And here's how. For instance, the Democrats made a big thing at the time of the Nunes memo about citing McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI. And in fact, there is no reference to that. So that is now taken as given. Number two, there is this bizarre focus on the credibility of Steele. And McCarthy points out that especially in this kind of proceeding, it's not the credibility of Steele that's at stake. It's the credibility of Steele's sources who are not disclosed. And David, of course, misread the memo, because there is no mention of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Had there been, then the point of Nunes would have been vitiated. But they have got a circumloquious footnote that nobody can understand.
The bigger the word, the bigger the lie.
And no, I mean, it's absolutely.
But are we ever going to get to a point where either side of the electorate is going to believe the other side?
Here's my answer. I believe we have, as Americans, Dave and I and you and everybody at WGN, everybody listening right now, whether you like David or me, we all need to
like me.
Pound on Congress to get the administration and the Justice Department to release the FISA motion, the
Why?
Memorandum in support of the motion, because that is how we will finally put to rest the interpretation of Schiff or the interpretation of Nunes. Let the motion speak for itself.
And yet the Schiff memo actually had actual excerpts of the FISA warrants. There were I think I counted about a dozen different excerpts from the FISA warrants, some of which were blacked out, but many of which were not, that were quite clear.
But Chris, my issue is going to be...
They don't support the Schiff position.
But here's the thing. If the FISA motion is released and we're all given this raw data, we'll just interpret it whichever way you guys want to interpret
it.
It's not going to get us anywhere to a point of actually having...
I think the problem right now is that we can't see the FISA motion. The problem right now is that we're relying on Schiff or Nunez or some triangulation. You know, Nunez and Schiff via Andrew McCarthy, or David might be looking at Nunez and Schiff via The Nation or something like
No, I'm looking at it via the memo.
I read it via the memo too, but I'm saying in general, we're relying on secondary
people
and tertiary.
To interpret it,
we need to look directly at what was said. But the fact is, if there was improper activity, and I believe I said last week or 3 weeks ago that six guys are going to be ladies will be sanctioned for what happened here. I believe that is going to speak volumes. That's not going to happen today, tomorrow, or next week. Yeah. We deserve to know what's going on. This idiotic Mueller investigation into the, which is not even looking at the collusion of Hillary Clinton and the Russians who were recruited by Steele as he was paid for by Perkins Coie and the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary campaign. This must end, or it must be redirected.
Dave Lundy, we got 1 minute left. Since we had there was a good filibuster there by Roebling to slow it down, you get to finish.
I didn't feel a need to interrupt Chris as he was weaving his tale of terror because the conspiracy that he weaves, that he and some of the folks on the right weave, are just not supported by the facts. There is no evidence. In fact, it's funny. I rewatched some of the clips that were played before the Nunez memo was released about how this was going to reveal massive corruption in the FBI, that the Mueller investigation has no point, and the entire point of the Nunez memo was to delegitimize Robert Mueller. It has failed utterly. There is zero in that memo
except to 50% of the country. That's
these
the
guys
problem.
Have false.
No, not to 50% of the country. Guys, to like 20% of the nut jobs, like my friend Chris here.
These guys falsely employed a campaign handout to spy on an American.
They didn't.
Carter Page
you're
is not
saying
worth
things that are just
upon.
Not true.
I am
you're
not.
Saying things that are not true. Carter Page was spied upon starting in July. The Steele memo did not come out. It was not revealed to the FBI until October.
I'm telling you, they went for
you're making
FISA
things up that are not true.
They went for FISA surveillance, David, and they used a campaign handout, and that is fundamentally un-American, which is typical of Hillary Clinton.
Fundamentally American for investigators to investigate.
All right. Chris already stood up. He got his Hillary Clinton reference in, and he's out. He's already on his way to the door.
He's like, Chris tried to drop the mic, but it was attached. It didn't work.
I'm reading
the
CTA bus tracker. I got to get out there and hop on the 151.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, touche. See you guys next week.